Listening Library presents A Wrinkle in Time, read for you by the author, Madeline L'Engle.
Hello, this is Madeline L'Engle. I'm going to be reading A Wrinkle in Time to you. It's a book that almost never got published. I'd already had half a dozen books published, but this was a very different one, and nobody knew quite what it was or who it was for. And the general feeling was that it was much too hard for children. Well, my kids were 7, 10, and 12 while I was writing it, and at night I'd read them what I'd written during the day, and they'd say, "Oh, Mother, go back to the typewriter." So I knew kids could understand it. The problem is it's not too difficult for kids, it's too difficult for grown-ups. Too many grown-ups tend to put themselves into little rooms with windows that don't open and doors that are locked. And they want to close themselves off from any new ideas. And you're ready and open for new ideas and new things and new places and new excitements. So I hope you'll enjoy this book. I had a wonderful time writing it. A Wrinkle in Time, Chapter 1, Mrs. What's-It. It was a dark and stormy night. In her attic bedroom, Margaret Murray, wrapped in an old patchwork quilt, sat on the foot of her bed and watched the trees tossing in the frenzied lashing of the wind. Behind the trees, clouds scudded frantically across the sky. Every few moments, the moon ripped through them, creating wraith-like shadows that raced along the ground. The house shook. Wrapped in her quilt, Meg shook. She wasn't usually afraid of weather. "It's not just the weather," she thought. "It's the weather on top of everything else, on top of me, on top of Meg Murray doing everything wrong." School. School was all wrong. She'd been dropped down to the lowest section in her grade. That morning, one of her teachers had said crossly, "Really, Meg, I don't understand how a child with parents as brilliant as yours is supposed to be can be such a poor student. If you don't manage to do a little better, you'll have to stay back next year." During lunch, she'd roughed house a little to try to make herself feel better, and one of the girls said scornfully, "After all, Meg, we aren't grammar school kids anymore. Why do you always act like such a baby?" And on the way home from school, as she walked up the road with her arms full of books, one of the boys had said something about her dumb baby brother. At this, she'd thrown the books on the side of the road and tackled him with every ounce of strength she had, and arrived home with her blouse torn and a big bruise under one eye. Sandy and Dennis, her 10-year-old twin brothers, who got home from school an hour earlier than she did, were disgusted. "Let us do the fighting when it's necessary," they told her. "A delinquent, that's what I am," she thought grimly. "That's what they'll be saying next. Not Mother, but them. Everybody else. I wish Father..." But it was still not possible to think about her father without the danger of tears. Only her mother could talk about him in a natural way, saying, "When your father gets back..." Gets back from where? And when? Surely her mother must know what people were saying, must be aware of the smugly vicious gossip. Surely it must hurt her as it did Meg. But if it did, she gave no outward sign. Nothing ruffled the serenity of her expression. "Why can't I hide it, too?" Meg thought. "Why do I always have to show everything?"